This morning, I would like for us to approach the scripture in a new way. I was hoping that we could all read this morning's scripture. If you will turn to the back of your bulletin, this is a letter that was written to the Galatian church. The Apostle Paul was pretty emphatic with the Galatian church. He saw things that were going on there that he was not really thrilled about, and he really wanted to get some clarity to them about the nature of church. And so I invite us to read it slowly and together. Brothers and sisters, if someone is caught in a sin, you who live by the Spirit should restore that person gently. But watch yourselves, or you also may be tempted. Carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. If anyone thinks they are something when they are not, they deceive themselves. Each one should test their own actions. Then they can take pride in themselves alone without comparing themselves to someone else. For each one should carry their own load. Nevertheless, the one who receives instruction in the Word should share all good things with their instructor. Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. Whoever sows to please their flesh, from the flesh will reap destruction. Whoever sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. So we are continuing on with Once Upon a Time, and you will see that we have straw spun into gold on our altar this morning. I began this series of about fairy tales using Frederick Buechner's idea that the gospel is part fairy tale. Today's fairy tale departs from the gospel, however. It exposes much of what the Apostle Paul was trying to teach to the church in Galatia. So in one well-known fairy tale, a miller has a lovely daughter, and the miller wants to get ahead. And so he lies to the local king, and he tells him that his daughter can spin straw into gold. It doesn't sound like the miller is carrying his own load. He isn't taking pride in any of his own work, and he's using another human being. He's using his own daughter to get ahead. Well, the king is this proud ruler. It says the country is a long way off. And he says to this miller's daughter, all this straw must be spun into gold before morning if you want to live. Well, it doesn't sound like the king is carrying his own load either. After two evenings, the king promises that if the miller's daughter will spin the straw into gold this third night, he will make her his queen. Well, the king wants to purchase her and then benefit from her work, right? The miller's daughter, on the other hand, is the classic damsel in distress. She's been sold by her father, enslaved by this king, and tricked by a little man who magically spins the straw into gold for her. The first and second nights of spinning, she gives him first her necklace and then her ring, and on the third night, she has nothing left to give to this little man. Then say you will give me the first child that you may have when you are queen, the little man says. Well, while this miller's daughter is in sense a victim, she also allows herself to be deceived. She relies on the deception of this little man rather than use her own intelligence and talent to make things right. It doesn't sound like she is carrying her own load. So this little man who has remained nameless, because you see, when you give someone your name, it establishes relationship. So this little nameless man shows up at the birth of the queen's first child. And she asks him to make a deal that if she can come up with his name in 3 days, she can keep the child. Well, when in fact she uses his name and calls him Rumpelstiltskin, no longer can he deceive her. He no longer has any power over her. Each character in this fairy tale tries to take something from the other. And I have to say that sounds so familiar in our day when we begin looking at those who enslave and punish and lie and cheat and take advantage of others to make their own ends meet. This is what the Apostle Paul was angry about in the Galatian church. Paul's letter was written in response to those who were not helpful in dealing with the sin of others. He says it's our Christian responsibility to restore them gently. Paul's letter was written in response to those who were falling into temptation, perhaps even because of their leadership. Ouch! You know, that's a conviction of the leadership of the church. Paul's anger was aimed at those in the church who were not pulling their own load, those who let all the others do all the work. Paul wanted the Galatian church to understand this. There is a way to live when we believe in Christ. Yes, there is a law of Jesus Christ. And there are consequences for our actions. There is moral accountability. Our faith is the choice that we make over the ways of the world, which all too often falsely promise ease and pleasure over hard work and integrity. The Christian response to the world, do you know what that is? It's called sacrifice. The Christian response to the world is to give up pleasure and ease for the sake of serving others. The Apostle Paul assures the church in Galatia that through individual responsibility to Christ, God brings forth new creation. And collectively, as the church, this new creation can transform the world. One of my neighbors spins wool. She has a spinning wheel, and she spins wool. Well, actually, she has an Angora rabbit. She has a goat, yes, an Angora goat in our neighborhood. And she also purchases alpaca fleece. So she has just about any kind of fleece that you can imagine that she can get her hands on. She will visit your preschool, by the way, and teach your children how to spin fleece. If you've ever seen freshly shorn fleece, no matter what the animal it is, it's dirty and it's stinky and it's oily. And the fleece needs to be cleaned of all of its debris. They call that skirting. They skirt it. And then it's spun. So a friend of mine also learned how to spin from this neighbor of mine. So she now spins alpaca wool. And here's a sample of her work. You can see that this was one of her earlier pieces, and you can see that there's an art to spinning fleece, that there is a tension that needs to be maintained. This one, there are some parts of the fleece that are really thin and other parts that are knobby. The tension determines the thickness and the evenness of the skein of yarn. And the spinning of fleece determines the quality of the whole fabric. Right? The quality of the whole fabric is affected by how well that fleece has been spun. When you think about it, each one of us takes some kind of raw material and works it around and around and around to make a living, right? Our spinning wheel is the clock. It's the time. It's the day after day after day of attending to the work that we do. So, for example, some of us spin mathematics into financial management. Some of us spin healthcare into improved function and wellness. Some of us spin teaching our children into hope for a better world. Some of us spin lumber and concrete and tile into homes and buildings and places of community. Are you following me on that? What is the thing that you work at day after day after day to present to God, to present to the King? What straw are you spinning into gold? Here's the thing. Each of us reaps what we sow. And in the kingdom of God, there really are no free rides. Each of us is called to carry our own load. God cannot be mocked. Each of us is responsible for how we attend to our faith. God knows what is on the hearts and minds of each one of us, and God will judge each one of us. God knows what we are able to do with the gifts that He gives us. And God expects that when we see a member of our community who is not building up the community, that we restore that person gently. And the reason we do this is because at some time or another, each one of us will fall, each one of us will be burdened with sin, and we need to be there to help one another get up during those times. So you see, we should neither think too much of ourselves and deceive ourselves with prideful ways about how wonderful we are, nor should we think too little of ourselves and squander away our time saying that we're just not enough or that we can't do those kinds of things, expecting others to take up the slack. A young friend of mine graduated from high school, and she felt passionate about God. She began to answer a call into ministry, and through that process, which is not a perfect process, she saw and encountered much injustice in the church, and she began to understand her call and answer it in a different way. She just couldn't go any further down the road of ordained ministry, so she began to answer her call in a different way. A young woman graduated from college, and she had the hunch that she needed to teach English in Korea. No one in her family had ever been to Korea. She didn't know anyone from Korea. She traveled all on her own, and she spent 5 years there as an outsider. She offered herself and her work to a people she didn't even know, and she fell in love with the entire nation. A woman whose mother was dying of cancer left the job of her dreams and a very important, significant relationship in her life so that she could be at her mother's bedside during the last 2 years of her life, which for those of us who have been in that place know how difficult that can be. So these three vignettes are all actually stories that make up the life of my friend Ellen. Ellen, who in addition to graduate school this last year, has spent the last year and a half caring for the young adult child of a pastor who is unable to walk or talk or feed herself. Every week, because of Ellen, Tema gets her hair brushed, she gets stories read to, and she spends a day at the park. Straw into gold. God makes the raw materials of our lives, and it becomes rich when offered to God, when given for God's glory and not our own. Ellen does not live a fairy tale life. She really does not have a typical life for any middle-class white woman growing up in the United States. She has experienced injustice. She has been an outsider. She has endured hardship and the painful loss of her mother. And yet, she has not become weary of doing good. Good flows out of the fabric of her life. Goodness and mercy are the raw materials God uses to make gold. What does the thread look like that you are spinning? Does it make the fabric of our common life stronger and bigger, more vibrant, better able to serve? Or are you holding back, letting others carry the load? Gold is the glory we bring to others. Gold is the glory we make of God. The riches of the kingdom are here, my friends, and each one of us is to carry our own load. Amen.